Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're plunging into the second session of a Dungeons & Dragons adventure. It's Dungeon of the Mad Mage, and the Game Master is the always inventive Wintermute.
That's right.
You know how we operate here. We've sifted through the video transcript, Waterdeep Dungeon of the Mad Mage, SO2E01, over on the GM Wintermute YouTube channel to, you know, pull out all the key moments.
Yep. Consider this your fast track to catching up on all the important stuff, the action, the discoveries, the big choices the adventuring party made this time around.
Exactly.
Our goal really is to give you, our listener, a clear picture of, well, how far they got, what challenges popped up, and some of the mysteries they bumped into deep underwater deep.
Right. We're going to explore the new group forming up, their first steps into Undermountain, this legendary dungeon. Then there were these weird magical mirrors, a sudden, like, shadow attack.
Oh yeah, that was intense. And don't forget the run-in with those mind flayer adjacent things, the intellect devourers.
Yeah.
Super unsettling.
Totally. Plus a pretty chaotic goblin fight, and then some really critical thinking about, you know, what to do with a fallen teammate and their next steps. Okay, let's get into it. Session two kicks off, and boom, three new adventurers join the party.
Fresh faces, yeah.
First, there's Galador. He's a high elf illusionist wizard, and interestingly, the brother of Orb, a character from before, apparently.
Oh, okay. A connection there.
Then we have Kasev, a devotion paladin. His backstory sounds, well, kind of wild. Distant relative of a demon who's busy hassling a bar owner.
Only in D&D, right? It adds flavor, though.
Definitely. And rounding out the new crew is Fanos, a rogue, but also a forester, so skills in the wild, too.
It's always interesting when a new group forms, especially stepping into an existing campaign like this. They're not starting fresh. They're straight into the dangers of Undermountain.
Right. And we get a little rules clarification early on, too. Something about spears.
Yeah. Polearm master feat. The GM ruled you can use the butt end strike even if you're wielding the spear one-handed. Little details like that, they actually matter in combat. You know?
For sure. Changes how you might fight. And, of course, the classic D&D gear talk. Plus one armor versus plus one weapon.
The eternal question. Defense or offense? It really shapes how you play. Do you want to last longer or hit harder?
Exactly.
Yeah.
They touched on maybe needing magic weapons later, too.
Which loops back to the whole priestess thing, right? Quick recap. The previous group got back to the Yawning Portal bar after some haunted house adventure, got paid, and then this priestess of Jolth shows up.
Offering platinum, no less.
Yeah, good money. For magic items brought back from Undermountain, she basically points them down the hole.
The well in the Yawning Portal.
Oh,
the entrance.
Precisely. And we got reminders of past finds a weird blood message about old Sheila. Those pillars where they fought bugbears, and this long hallway with mirrors.
The magical mirrors.
Yes.
Which is exactly where this new party finds themselves. So yeah, the new team is in this long hallway, niches in the walls, mirrors in the niches. They use detect magic.
Smart move.
And find five of the mirrors are magical. But the first three? Illusions. Clever, hiding shelves behind them.
Oh, neat. Any loot?
Anna's character found a bronze mask behind one. Just a mask. No idea what it does yet.
Okay. A little mystery hook right there. And it's dark down there, right? They needed light.
Totally dark.
Hmm.
They had the light cantrip on a spear, and someone had a torch going.
Hmm.
You definitely need light sources in a dungeon.
Absolutely. And they dropped a bit of lore about Undermountain itself. Built 1,000 years ago, Wizard's Tower sank, became this huge dungeon.
Filled with monsters and criminals, apparently. They used to just chuck bad guys down there.
Rough justice. And Durnan, the guy who runs the Yawning Portal, he made his name exploring down there. Makes sense he'd build his tavern right on top of the entrance. It's like the ultimate adventurer hangout.
Totally. So the party gets to the end of the hall, the last two magical mirrors. They tap them with the torch.
Feels solid.
Yeah, feels solid. So Anna tries putting on that bronze mask they found. Stands in front of the mirrors.
Hoping for something to happen, maybe.
Probably. But nothing. Zip. Nada.
Anticlimactic. Yeah. Or maybe the mask isn't for these mirrors.
Could be. But then as they start moving past the mirrors, things get weird. Shadowy shapes, like dark, twisted versions of Anna, start peeling out of each mirror.
Whoa. Okay, that's unexpected. From cautious exploration straight into combat mode.
Yeah, pretty startling. So initiative gets rolled. Kasev, the paladin, he's up first.
Good. Hopefully he can tank some hits or dish some out.
Well, these shadow things attack right away.
Mm-hmm.
But the party focuses fire, and they manage to take one down pretty quickly.
Smart. Any idea what these things are exactly? Just shadows.
Seems like it. And they start talking like, should we break the mirrors? Maybe they'll stop them.
Logical thought. Did they try it?
Yeah. They smashed one, yeah. And Interestingly, the magical glow around that mirror started to fade.
So maybe the mirrors are the source.
Well, here's the thing. After they destroyed all the shadow creatures, the magic faded from the other mirrors too.
Oh, so the shadows were creating the magic aura, not the mirrors themselves.
That's what they figured out. The mirrors were just, you know, regular mirrors after all. The shadows were the magical bit. Clever twist.
Right when you think it's safe. Nope. Anna's checking further down the hall, I think.
Yeah, scouting ahead a bit.
And Avaru and Phanis hear something. Coming up fast. From behind them.
Dun dun. D-U-N. And it's two horrible, faceless things charging at them. Intellect devourers.
Oof. Okay, that ramps up the danger level considerably. Those things are nasty. Mind attacks.
Totally. Initiative gets rolled again because of the surprise. One goes for Galador. He feels this, like, psychic assault.
A mind blast.
Probably. But he makes his saving throw, shakes it off.
Close call. What about the other one?
It attacks Phanis. Same deal, psychic attack, but Phanis also makes his save. Lucky breaks for both of them.
Very lucky. Those saves are critical against intellect devourers. So how did they fight back?
Galador blasts both of them with burning hands. Kasev steps up, uses divine smite on one, and just, bam, takes it out.
Nice. Paladin power.
And Phanis hits the last one with Sacred Flame. So they dealt with that initial wave pretty effectively, actually. Good teamwork.
Yeah, quick response. But, you know, with these kinds of encounters, it's rarely just one wave.
Tragically, no. Just as Avaru and Phanis are, like, catching their breath, talking it over, another one pops out, attacks Kasev.
Oh, no. And Kasev.
Fails his saving throw against the Mind Blast.
That's really bad. What happens then?
His intelligence score drops to zero.
Yeah.
Instantly unconscious and permanently stunned until his intelligence is restored somehow.
Wow. Okay, yeah, that's a game changer. That basically takes the character out of commission entirely. What can they even do about that?
They start scrambling, right? Thinking spells. Lesser restoration? Nope. Doesn't fix ability score reduction.
Right. You need something more powerful.
Exactly. Greater restoration. Which means either finding a high-level cleric back in town or... well, having the spell themselves, which they probably don't at this level.
And the GM explained how these things work, right? They eat your brain, basically. Mm-hmm. Normally, getting that intelligence back is super hard.
But there's a small hope. The GM mentioned that if you kill the devourer that did it, a long rest might restore the lost intelligence. Maybe.
Okay, so a dilemma. Do they risk a long rest right there in the dangerous hallway? Galador has Tiny Hut, which makes it safer.
A little safer, yeah. Or do they try and drag poor, unconscious, stunned Kasev all the way back up to the Yawning Portal? Mm-hmm. Big risks either way. Tough choice.
So what did they decide? Risk the rest or head back?
They decided heading back was the safer bet. Get Kasev topside to Waterdeep. Figure things out there.
Probably wise. So they paid the fee again, got hauled back up the well.
Yep. And once they're back in the city, Kasev's player brings up something interesting. His old character, Harry, apparently had a lot of gold saved up.
Ah, legacy funds. Wrong. Happens in campaigns. Can they use Harry's money for Kasev?
Seems like it, yeah. So they go shopping, big time. Need to fix Kasev and gear up.
What'd they get?
For Kasev, they got him +1 armor and a +1 shield. Big defensive boost.
Definitely needed after that encounter.
Galador pick up a wand of magic missiles. Reliable damage. Always good for a wizard.
Smart buy.
And crucially, scrolls of greater restoration. Anna was even looking at a necklace of prayer beads that had a greater restoration bead.
Those are pricey. Shows how serious the situation was. Greater restoration scrolls aren't cheap either.
Nope. But they pool the funds, maybe using Harry's gold, and manage to buy a scroll. They use it on Kasev.
Amp.
It works. His intelligence is restored. He's back. Major crisis averted.
Okay, that's a huge relief for the party. Really shows how important resources and sometimes previous characters can be. All right, so Kasev's fixed. Back down the hole.
You got it. Equipped, restored, ready for round two. Back down the well into Undermountain they go.
Same path, or trying somewhere new.
Sticking to the same path. Makes sense, right? They know that area a little bit now. Want to see what else is there before wandering off?
Good thinking. Any precautions this time?
Yep. Anna sends her bat familiar ahead to scout the long hallway again. Smart move.
Did you see anything?
Nope. Bat report's all clear. So they head down the hall, feeling a bit more confident this time.
Did they notice anything new?
Just some discarded torches, empty potion bottles, signs that other adventurers might have rested there, maybe didn't make it out. Adds to the atmosphere, you know?
Definitely. Sets the mood. So where does the path lead?
They get to a junction. Corridor heading east, another one continuing south, and then that big stone door at the end of the main hall.
Okay, choices. Which way did they go?
They decided to check out the south door first. Listened at it.
Heard anything?
Yeah, noises, multiple creatures, talking in goblin. They checked for traps, nothing found. The door opened inward.
And inside, what delightful scene awaited them.
Oh, it was something. Six goblins. And they had a human skeleton rigged up with ropes like a giant gruesome marionette dangling from the ceiling.
Mm.
And they were chanting.
What? Okay, that's incredibly creepy and weird. Goblins are strange. Anything else in the room?
Yeah. Over in a corner, two halves of a broken wooden shield near some other human bones. Just adds to the whole unsettling vibe.
Bizarre. So I assume combat started pretty quickly?
Immediately. Galador hits one with Ray of Frost. Annie uses True Strike, then skewers a goblin with her rapier. Kasev uses Sacred Flame. Fannis casts Word of Radiance, hits multiple goblins, takes down two more.
Wow, they're mowing them down. Effective start.
But just then, sound of a door opening to the north. A bugbear steps out. Annie yells a warning.
Ah, bigger reinforcements.
Yep. Bugbear chucks a javelin, hits Galador.
Ouch.
Galador hits it back with Frostbite, trying to hamper its attacks. Then a second bugbear comes into the room, throws a javelin at Kasev, but misses.
Two bugbears and goblins. Getting crowded.
For a moment, Fannis focuses fire and kills the first bugbear. Kasev follows up and takes down the second one. So the bugbear threat was handled pretty fast.
Nice. Efficient takedowns. Still got those goblins, though, and whatever that skeleton puppet thing was about.
But wait, there's more. You won't believe this next bit.
Yeah.
Kasev steps over one of the dead bugbears.
Yeah.
And its head starts to, like, swell up, bulge, and then burst open.
Yeah.
And out crawls an intellect devourer.
No way. It was hiding inside the bugbear.
Apparently, Fannis screams a warning new threat.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other dead bugbear's head does the same thing. Another intellect devourer pops out.
That is horrifying. And brilliant. What a twist by the GM. Using the dead enemies as Trojan horses.
Oh.
Wow. Okay, so now they have two intellect devourers to deal with, plus remaining goblins.
Exactly. A real out of the frying pan, into the fire situation. So, dealing with that immediate threat, they cautiously press on, open another door nearby.
What's behind door number three?
Short hallway opens into a bigger room. And guess what? More goblins. Nine of them this time.
Nine more. Are they aggressive?
They look scared, actually, but they're armed. So, yeah, still a threat. Combat round three.
Ding, ding, ding. How does this one go?
Anna starts with a sleep spell. Knocks two of them out instantly. Nice crowd control.
Effective. Takes the numbers down a bit.
Kasev strides forward, yells something like, "Your bosses are dead." Trying to intimidate them, maybe. Referring to the bugbears.
Worth a shot. Did it work?
Hard to say, because Galador follows up with Snowball Swarm. Huge blast of ice and snow. Takes out five goblins.
Whoa. Area effect spells doing work against mobs. That leaves, what, two active ones plus the sleepers?
Yep. The remaining active ones go after Fannis. Anna finishes another one off. Kasev cuts down another. Fannis uses Word of Radiance again. Probably takes out the last active one.
Leaving just the sleepers.
Almost. Galador uses Chill Touch on the very last one standing. So yeah, another swift, decisive victory, despite the numbers.
They handled that wave really well. Combination of control spells and focused damage. Efficient goblin removal service.
Right. So after that chaos, they finally get a breather. Search the bodies. Goblins, bugbears.
Find anything good this time. Please say yes.
Nope. Just basic weapons again. Seems like this bunch wasn't carrying much treasure.
Ah, bummer. What about that broken shield they found earlier?
Ah, right. They look closer at it. One half has the name Kostrip, carved in common. The other half has, well, probably the same name, maybe in a different script, but likely also common.
Kostrip. Hmm. Any significance?
No idea yet. But Anna uses mending to fix the shield, put it back together. So now they have a shield with a name on it. Maybe a clue.
Could be. And the skeleton.
They gathered up the bones. Plan to bury them later. A nice touch, actually. Shows they're not just murder hobos.
Good on them. Any other discoveries in these rooms?
Kasev took a peek around a corner into another larger room. Saw the remains of a shattered statue in the middle. Looked like black stone broken into like 17 fist-sized pieces plus a base.
A shattered statue. Interesting. Any idea what it was?
Not at first. It actually looked like the bugbears might have been trying to put it back together.
Which is weird.
Bugbears doing arts and crafts. Okay. Did they check it for magic?
Yeah. Annie used vine sense, but nothing. No magic detected from the pieces.
So what did the party do?
They decided to try and reassemble it themselves. Took some time, but they pieced it back together.
And what did it depict?
Three human warriors standing back to back on a little stone mound, facing outwards, holding spears. About 2 feet tall. Seemed like a proper carving.
Huh.
Three warriors. Any idea why the bugbears cared about it, or what it represents?
Not a clue yet. Just another mystery added to the pile down here in Undermountain.
Yeah.
Okay, let's try and wrap our heads around all that. What a session, right? From those creepy shadow things in the mirrors.
Yeah, the mirror puzzle turning into a shadow fight was cool.
Right through the goblin hordes, the bugbear surprises, and oh my god, the intellect devourers bursting out of dead enemies.
That was definitely a standout moment, pure dungeon horror.
This whole deep dive into session two just shows a party facing constant, like relentless danger and having to make some really tough calls on the fly.
Absolutely. And what's really interesting, I think, especially for you, the learner, is watching how they handled the Kasev situation.
Right, the intellect devourer taking him out?
Yeah, their resourcefulness going back up, using legacy funds, getting that greater restoration scroll. It really underlines how crucial preparation and teamwork, and maybe even a bit of campaign history, can be in such a dangerous place.
Good point. And then there's the mystery stuff layered in, like that shattered statue. Why were the bugbears trying to fix it? Is it just random flavor? Or does it mean something more? These little hooks keep you guessing.
Exactly. Keeps the players and us listening in engaged beyond just the fights.
So for you, our listener, what's the takeaway here? Well, this session is a perfect example of just how unpredictable D&D dungeon crawls can be. You need to adapt constantly.
You really do. One minute it's goblins with puppets, the next it's brain-eating monsters hiding in corpses.
And there's always that mix of thrilling combat and these little bits of discovery that just raise more questions, makes you think, you know, what would I have done facing those intellect devourers? Or that room full of 9 goblins after fighting bugbears.
It's fun to put yourself in their shoes.
Yeah.
And consider this. The GM mentioned that this first level alone has something like 41 rooms.
Wow, 41. They've barely scratched the surface then.
Pretty much. This adventure could go in so many directions. What other secrets, what other dangers are waiting in the rest of level 1? And what about the levels below that? Deeper down in the Mad Mage's dungeon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Definitely something to think about until we dive back in next time.